Thank you for tuning into our podcast today. We want to make everyone aware that our services are currently closed due to COVID-19. We will be publishing our Sunday AM service online every Sunday at 10:30 AM on facebook.com/Salem First Assembly. For tithe and offering information, please contact our church office at 856-935-0060. So let's continue to walk by faith and not by sight, and to trust the Lord in all things. Thank you. Welcome to Salem First Assembly Podcast. May this week's message by Pastor Brian D. Corkin be a blessing to your life in helping you to grow in your understanding of God's Word, strengthen your faith, and equip you to become all that God has created you to be.
Before we start, I want to invite you already to do something for me, is that this message, I believe, can change lives, and I believe it can change your life. And so share it with someone, because when it comes to hope, we all need God's hope. Sometime I was reading a book, and I gave a little story about a person who was optimistic. And so a man went to a little league baseball game, and he looked at all the kids in the dugout, went up to one of the kids and said, "Hey, what's the score?" And the little kid says, "It's 29-0. And the guy looked at the boy and said, "You must be kind of discouraged." And the little boy said, "No, not discouraged, because we got one more inning." Hey, listen, we can all be optimistic in life, but when it comes to hope, we're talking about God's hope, and God wants us not just to be optimistic. Optimistic is good. I'd rather be with someone who's an optimist than a pessimist. But when we talk about hope today, we're talking about hope that's sure. You know, a lot of people put their hope in a lot of different things. One of the things about hope in God comes from a text that this whole series is going to be based on. And it's based on Romans 13:15-13. "May God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him." This is important. "So that you may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit." You see, we can have hope, but the question I want to ask you is, having hope is great, but what are you hoping in? A lot of times people hope in a lot of things that's horizontal. You know, they hope this and they hope that. You know, you can have a false hope. You know, many people put their hope in the Titanic. This was a ship that would never sink, and everybody went across the seas and they felt like they were so safe, but they did not know that this unsinkable ship that they thought was unsinkable sunk, and over 1,500 people lost their lives. So sometimes people put their hope in things that are not God's hope. It's not eternal. You see, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. And I want you and I, all of us, need to put our hope in something that's sure. You see, what's the biblical definition of hope? This is really important. Biblical definition of hope is hope that's confident. It's a surety. It's not a wishful hope. It's a no-so hope. And you can live your life with a no-so hope, a hope that you know that God is on your side. He's with you. He's for you. And he wants to help you. Now, I know, because I live in the same boots you live in, that sometimes are tough. But there's a scripture found in Jeremiah 32:27. It says this. The Lord says, "I am the Lord of all, and I am the Lord of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me?" I want you to think about this, because if you take this portion of scripture and you recognize that the Lord God created all mankind, he created you, he created me. And then after that, he says, "Is there anything too difficult for me?" Today, we're going to take a journey. But before we do, I want to give you an acronym for hope. I love acronyms. HOPE, holding onto promises every day. H-O-P-E, holding onto promises every day. Now listen, I'm not talking about horizontal promises of what she said, he said, they said. I'm talking about what God said. Those are the promises that we have to hold on to. And today's text is going to come from Mark 5:21-43. Now, we're going to be talking about two people. We're going to be talking about Jairus, is a ruler, a synagogue ruler, a leader. And he had a daughter that was very sick, close to dying. And then there's another lady who pops up. She's a woman, we don't know her name, but she has a medical condition, has been dealing with it for 12 years. So I want to start this off first with Jairus. That's how the text starts. And in verse 21, Jairus has this hopeful plan. Let's read. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with Jesus. "My little daughter is dying. Please, please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Now remember, Jairus has a hopeful plan. And what I mean by that is Jairus was a religious leader, but his daughter is very sick, close to death. And he's probably tried every doctor, everything out there, and nothing's working. But he hears about this man named Jesus, and he hears about the testimonies. He hears about the healings. He hears, like, something is happening, and if I can just get my daughter, or if I can get to Jesus to my daughter will live. You got to hear the urgency that this father has for his daughter. Jairus probably tried everything, but nothing worked. But he's about to put his hope in the one who created his daughter and created him. When we put our hope in the one who created us, it will change the way we think. It will change the way we live. It will change our life. Now, Jairus is on a mission. In his mind, he knows if I can get to Jesus. He finally finds Jesus. We don't know how much it took to find him, but he found Jesus. And when he finally found him, guess what he did? He falls right to his knees, right to his knees, and starts pleading with Jesus. And says, "Please come to my house and put your hands on my daughter. And if you do, she will be healed." I want you to think about this. Because when you have hope in God, faith will arise. You see, your faith is kind of dictated by the hope. Do you believe what God said is true? Because when you find yourself in a storm, in a situation that's really hard, you have to ask yourself, do you believe what God's word said is true? You see, Jairus had a need. He found Jesus. And Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to go with you, Dad. I'm going to go because I see your heart, and I'm going to touch your daughter." This is working out so great for Jairus. I know he was happy as a peacock, okay? However, something happens. Because as Jesus and Jairus is walking to the house, Jairus has a hopeful plan, but his plan is delayed. And this is where you and I mess up sometimes, because when things get delayed, we feel like God's in denial. We're in denial. God says no, even when things are delayed. A delay is not a denial. A delay is just not God saying no, but maybe I'm doing more than one thing. Jairus didn't really know what was about to happen was probably going to help him. Could you imagine this? Here's a dad who has a sick daughter. Jesus says he's coming, and then some woman intervenes and stops him while going to his dying daughter. How would you respond? How would you react? Let's look at the text on verse 25. "And a woman was there who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she got worse." I want you to understand something. She was hopeless about her situation. 12 years she was dealing with this medical situation. She went to numerous doctors. She spent all she had. She was getting worse. This woman was seeking and searching for hope. You know, if you get to the point where you say, "Nothing's helping me, but I need somebody," I'll tell you where you need to turn. You need to turn to Christ. Look what happened. Verse 27. "When she heard about Jesus," now this is a great point. I always tell, heard. You see, God's always speaking, but are we listening? She heard about Jesus. She heard about his great works, his healing, and all he's doing. And all of a sudden, something happened in her. "When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in a crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought," listen to what she said, "if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Oh, that's just precious. That's a woman of faith. That's a woman who has hope. That's a woman who believes. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from all her suffering. Oh, that's a good day for this woman. But now let's go back to Jairus. While all this is going on, his daughter is still dying. And he's just, you hear him saying nothing in the narrative. But hold on for a little bit. Because when she heard about Jesus, this woman maybe depressed, maybe hopeless, a light came on. A hope came back in her being. A little bit of spring back in her step because she heard about a man named Jesus who was healing. And she went through. Now watch this. She was seeking God. She was seeking the God of hope. And you know what happened to this woman? This woman shifted from focus on her sickness to focus on her answer. You see, she was depressed, nothing was helping. She was growing worse. And then she heard about Jesus. You know, if you want to see a great change, you have to change your focus. You can focus on what's going wrong, or you can focus on the direction of going right. You see, what she did, she stopped focusing on her sickness, and she started focusing on her healer. She started focusing on where she was, and she started focusing on where she needed to travel. She needed to travel to the hope, where the hope was. The hope was at the feet of Jesus. But she says this, I don't want to ask him to touch me. I don't want him to come to my house. I just know if I just touch him, I'll be healed. You see something? I want you to know something. This young woman, we don't know what age she was, but she had hope. She had belief. She had faith. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety, cast all your cares upon Christ, and he, because he cares for you. Think about this now. Cast all your cares. You see, you're either going to go through life holding them, or you're going to cast them. You can only carry so much before you get weary. You see what she did? We can learn a lesson from it in the area of what she did. First, she pressed through the mess. Are things happening in a way that you don't like? If there's situation, relationships, problems at work, just the things in the world we live in, all these situations. But see, are you pressing through the mess? Are you actually heading in a direction, or are you just twiddling your thumbs doing absolutely nothing? See, this individual, this woman, took her faith and did something about it. And what I love about it was she first changed her focus. Then second, she had to press through the mess. What's the mess? There's a crowd. There's a crowd of people all around Jesus. You know what some people say when it gets tough? No, this is too hard. And they just quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. You know why you see these people with Olympics? They get up early in the morning. They work out before anybody's out of bed. They're disciplined, and they accomplish great goals because they desire to do something. This woman said, you know what? That's it. I'm going to go beat Jesus. I'm going to go get healed. I'm going to touch just his clothes because I know that's the hope. It's the no-so hope. If I just touch Jesus, something's going to happen, something miraculous. And in a moment, God's going to do something. So she has this attitude and this hope of pressing through the mess so that she can go through the crowds. Could you imagine her trying to push her way through the crowd? Have you ever done that to try to get to something? I one time was in a store, and there was a special sale going on, and everybody wanted the item that's on sale, and people were pushing in to try to get the sale. I think sometimes how people push in for a sale, but how much do they push in for Jesus? Just think about it. Sometimes I think we push in for so many things, but do we really push in to get to know the heart of God? Do we get to know that God would answer, that God would meet us, that really something would happen in us, that all of a sudden people would say, hey, you know what? There's something different about that woman. You know what? There's something different about that guy. She see, her hope was in her belief, and she thought, if I could just get to Jesus. See, your actions is really determined by your belief system. And then your behavior follows your belief, or your belief really follows your behavior. So you need to really ask yourself, are you really seeking God? Do you have that hope? Do you believe God can do it? This woman believed. She was suffering for 12 years, and she believed. She had hope, and nothing was going to stop her from getting to Jesus. She believed, and she just said, I just need to touch his garment. And one of the translation, it says the hem of his garment. The hem is the finished work. Jesus is an incredible life changer. He has hope. He wants you to find it. Let's look at verse 30. Verse 30 says this. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? They said to him, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell at his feet, and trembled with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, catch this, this is beautiful. This is worth it all. Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from all your suffering. Wow. Think of this. She did her part. God did his. You do your best. God would do the rest. You know, so often we want God to do everything for us and we don't do anything ourselves. You know, relationships are like that. We want great relationships, but we do nothing for them. You see, we want to get pay raises, but we don't want to work harder. We don't want to show up on time. This young lady had hope, and the hope within Jesus, and she did something about it, and she found hope, and she had faith, and she was healed. Now, you're probably asking me, what about Jairus? Hey, we're going to get to him. Let me remind you again, Romans 15, 13, our main text for this series. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. Did you get that? As you trust him. That's right. As you press through the mess. As you trust him so that you may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when disappointments come, and they do, whether they're in words or deeds, you have to remember Jesus is with you, if you're his child. He is with you, and he is traveling to your destination. Jairus is all ready for Jesus to heal the daughter, but then this woman comes up with a need and just touches Jesus, and everything stops. The journey stops. But just because the journey stopped doesn't mean God's done working. Just because something happened and just kind of blew the bottom of your floor out because of the situation, or just shocked you because of something happened, something was good, and then something happened and just brought your heart down, doesn't mean God's done. Look what it says here. He's talking to this woman. They're having a conversation, and while this is going on, some men come. Verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, going back and forth with the woman, some of the men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Can you imagine that? The battle of discouragement comes right after a victory. You ever notice that? Something wonderful happens, and after something good happens, you're faced with a challenge. Jairus witnessed the healing of the woman, saw the faith, saw the whole thing, and he said to him, he had to say to himself, wow, this Jesus is incredible. I can't wait for him to touch my daughter. He must have been really feeling pretty confident, And then just as the whole scenario is coming to an end and Jesus is about to get back on the journey, here's something that blew Jairus' socks off. He heard the worst news that any parent would want to hear. Your daughter is dead. I mean, that just think of that for a moment. What Jairus, how he was like, wow, and then, wow. But you know what challenges me about that portion of Scripture is the people that brought the message. Why bother the teacher anymore? You see, those people who bring in the message, they were putting a limit on God's power. They didn't see Jesus as who Jesus was, the living Son of God, who has come into the world to fulfill all of the prophecies, over 350 prophecies. This is the God who changes lives. This is the God who wants to change your life. But you just have to say, God, will you please come in? That's all it is. Hope starts by just trusting what God's word says. That's all it is. It's that simple. It's a relationship. But the people who brought the message, well, they weren't on the same page. They didn't think God could do anything. They weren't even willing to give him a try. Your daughter's dead. They could have said, well, let's see what Jesus can do. No, don't even bother. You know what they did? They quit. They didn't even allow God to finish the work. They quit in the process of the journey. Don't quit in the process of the journey, because when you stay in the journey, God does his best work. Stay in there. Fight for something that's worthy of a fight. They were just wanting to give up. But I often thought they were willing to give up on Jairus' daughter, but would they would have gave up on their own? I think not. Listen how Jesus responds to this. This is priceless. Verse 36, he says, "Ignore what they said," Jesus told the synagogue ruler. "Don't be afraid, just believe." Listen, he's saying, listen, Jairus, don't pay attention to the voices that are not godly. Don't pay attention to the negative individuals, you know, the naysayers. Don't pay attention to people who are not on the same page, who don't even have faith. Don't pay attention to those that are bringing you down. Pay attention to what my word says. Pay attention to what God says. Pay attention to the right words. And he says, ignore them. Could you imagine that? Jesus told him, don't pay attention to them. I think it's priceless. He says, Jairus, this is what I want you to do. Three things. I want you don't listen to them. I want you not to be afraid, and I want you to believe. He just got done seeing the woman healed. God was trying to pick him up. Goes on in verse 37. Look what happens. This is good stuff. Hit someone on the side of you if they're sitting on the couch, sitting in the chair, sitting next to you. Just nudge them and say, here comes the good stuff. Verse 37. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. When they came into the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, I love this, why all the commotion and wailing? They're grieving. The child's not dead, but just sleeping. She's asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went where the child was. I want you to understand something. The people are all in grief. Jesus comes in with good news. They're all believe the child's dead. Jesus comes in and says, listen, I got good news for you. The child's not dead. She's just sleeping. I want you to understand something. This is huge. It's because unbelief was in the room. And when unbelief is in the room, when people don't believe, it does you affect your whole system. It affects who you are. It affects your belief system. Unbelief will do absolutely nothing for you when it comes to God. You have to believe it to receive it. That's what faith is. That's what hope is. When you put your hope in God, faith rises up because you'll trust him, just like Romans tells us. Now watch this. The pain and the hurt of your past will affect your belief of your today. I want you to understand something. You see, I don't know where these people were. I know they didn't see Jesus as being who Jesus was, even though everybody else knew what he was doing, how he was healing, all the transformations, all the miracles, all of the lives that would change. But the people in this room, no, they just were laughing because they just didn't believe what Jesus said. Sometimes your pain and your hurt from your past will affect your belief today. You know, so many people are holding on to all the hurt and the pain of the past. You know, I was hurt. They hurt me. She hurt me. He hurt me. Situations, and because of the pain, or this person died, and this person was in a bad accident, and all of these tragedies take place, and their pain, they hold on to it. When you hold on to your pain, it affects your belief for today. You see, when it comes to hope, when it comes to following God, God wants you to release your pain so you can gain eternal life, so that you can gain understanding, so that you can gain hope and strength. You see, so don't hold on to your pain and your hurt of your past. It will affect your belief. You won't be able to hear God's word because your pain and your hurt prevents it from going on fertile soil. Number two, I want you to understand, unforgiveness and bitterness will always affect your sight in seeing what Christ is doing and desires to do in your life. Whenever a person has gone through something hard, and I know there's so many things that are really difficult in life. I've been with them. I've sat face-to-face with individuals who have gone through some tragic situations. But even so, that being true, each person has to come to the point of forgiveness and not allowing unforgiveness and bitterness to root into your heart. Because when that happens, you will not be able to see what Christ is doing in the moment and doing in the future for you. Because, once again, your pain and the hurt causes you not to forgive and causes you to be bitter, and therefore, you can't see what God's trying to do. So everybody's mourning the pain of the death, and Jesus says, she's not dead, she's sleeping, but they're in pain. And when you're in pain, you can't grasp it at that moment. So I want you to just think of your life for a moment and listen. Jesus has words of comfort, words of truth. And when the scripture says certain things, it's up to you whether to believe it and receive it. You have to receive it by faith. And when you put your hope in the God of hope, he will rise up something in you and you'll be able to walk in him. Let me give you the last one. Your hardened heart will prevent you from understanding the truth of God in which he's trying to teach you. A hard heart closes down with God. You know, the people, when Jesus came in and said, hey, she's just sleeping, they were probably mad that she was dead. She was a young child. She was probably 12 years old, I think it was, the scripture says. She was young. They, you know, that's not even a joke. You know, they didn't get mad at Jesus. You notice the scripture says they laughed at him. There's a big difference in emotion of person getting mad versus person laughing at someone. I want you to understand something. A lot of people want to laugh at the things of God. Oh, I know. They think God is a crutch. They think God is weak. I'm going to tell you something. The people who don't pay attention to who God is, they're the ones that end up losing. The Bible says in Romans 1 that we will take the truth and replace it with a lie. The Bible also reminds us that all humanity is without excuse just by the creation of God. You see, be careful that your pain and your hurt of your past doesn't affect your belief of you today. Be careful that unforgiveness and bitterness doesn't go deep into your heart so you can't see what God's trying to do. Be careful that your hardened heart doesn't prevent you from understanding what God's really trying to say to you, because if you don't catch it, you might just lose it. Because Jesus has a word for you, and the words that Jesus has is full of hope. Full of hope for you. You know why? He loves you. You are fearful and wonderfully made. Look at verse 41. Read this with me. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. Could you imagine that? That makes my liver quiver. I mean, could you just imagine if that was your daughter and all of a sudden God touched your daughter, touched your son, touched your family member, and all of a sudden that person started to get up and walk around? Woo! That'd just be awesome. That's not just good. That's just out of the boat type good. And so it says she started to walk around and she was 12 years old. At this very, it says at this, they were completely astonished. I'd be astonished. I'd be like, whoa, that's awesome. He gave strict orders not to let anybody know this. And he told them, give her something to eat. Listen, hope. Holding unto promises every day. Don't hold on to promises and, you know, horizontally. As hard as you hold on to the promises that are vertically with God. Those are the ones that give you hope. Philippians 4 tells us, Philippians 4, 6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what God says? Will you please bring your prayers to me, your heart requests to me? Will you? I want to hear from you. You want hope? Take it to God. Romans 15:13. Once again, the text of this series. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you will overflow with his hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know where you are today, but Jesus loves you. His hope that he has for you is something you need to receive. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. When Jesus came to earth, he came with you in mind. And what he's asking of you and me is that we would ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, to come into our heart and our life, to yield to him, and to ask for forgiveness. And God promises to be with you. The Bible tells us that he rose on the third day to defeat death, sin, and the grave. And on the third day, he rose again. Because he rose, that gives hope. And all you need to do is confess you're a sinner and ask Jesus into your heart and life, and he will transform you and help you to become all he created you to be. Jesus has done everything he could do for you. Now it's your choice to turn to him. I pray you make Jesus your Savior. I hope to see you again next week as we look to the second part. Today, I pray you find Jesus as your hope. Next week, how to live in hope. Until next time, remember, we're living here to make a difference there. See you next week.
Well, we thank you all for watching today. Let's continue to pray, believe, and trust God in every way. For information on sending in your tithe and offering, you can mail us at 430 Route 45, Salem, New Jersey, 08079, or you can visit our website at salemfirstag.org. Have a great rest of your day, and remember, life is living in faith every day.